Welcome to Mumfessions, the podcast that will normalise all of the challenges we experience as mums. I'm Laura Guckian, life coach, founder of Mind Mommy Coaching, and most importantly, mum of three. This podcast is unlike any other motherhood podcast, because you will be my guests. Each week, I will invite you to share your mumfession. A mumfession is a challenge or experience that you are too afraid to share. The stuff that makes you feel like you are doing this whole motherhood thing wrong. I am going to help you recognize you are not the only one. You are not doing anything wrong. And most importantly, I will give you the tools you need to be a happier mum. And guess what? This season, I've invited some special guests to help me answer your mumfessions. Because it takes a village. And this is the emotional village you need. Coming up this week.
You know, I'm judging myself because I feel like I've done something wrong. They don't understand what it is to be a mother yet.
The two of us are literally like,
I'm fuming.
Fuming as well.
Case, it's going to be a shit show.
That's exactly what I'd say. It's going to be a nightmare.
That was one hell of a mumfession and everything. It's the moment of you've had a hard life, Laura. You've struggled with your mental health your whole life. You never knew you were autistic. You had, excuse the language, a really shit first year of motherhood.
Yeah.
And you're building something here. Get on the bloody plane. Make sure you listen until the end, where I'll be sharing my weekly tip and challenge to help make things easier for you. Before we begin, I'd like to ask you to do something for me. Please hit the follow or subscribe button wherever you are listening. Before we begin today's episode, just a little trigger warning. We will be discussing the topic of traumatic birth experiences. If you are not in a place where you feel ready to listen to this yet, please skip forward and come back and listen at a later date. I can't actually remember when I first stumbled on this Instagram page, but when I did, I was instantly sucked in. A lot of the work I do with mums is helping them make their day-to-day life easier. We know motherhood is hard. We know there's lots of challenges. And a lot of that comes from just navigating the day-to-day. So what I love about this person is her tips and tricks on how to make life, day-to-day life as a mum, easier. And it's something that I couldn't get enough of. But most importantly, when I first connected with her, I knew she was a nice person. So with an online community of almost 700,000 mums, a new book about to be published called The Big Book of Major Mum Hacks, you are so very, very welcome to Mumfessions, Casey Major Bunce, also known as Major Mum Hacks. You are so welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
I'm so glad you're here today because I think what you do for mums is so important. It's that sense of, okay, I've all of this stuff to do in a day. Why am I finding it so hard?
Yeah.
And it's just that instant little bit of relief and advice. Mm. And what we're going to do today, we are going to talk about your mumfession, mm-hmm. and you are going to share, help me answer an audience mumfession. Yeah. But before we get into that, I would love for you to just tell us a little bit about yourself. Mm-hmm. And I hate asking that question because I hate when someone says that to me. Tell me about yourself. But is there anything you would like the audience to know about you as a mum or what you do?
So I'm a mum of four children.
Four? Wow.
Oh, that's a lot of kids. To be fair, I always wanted four. My husband was adamant we was having two. We had two boys and I was like, look, let's just go again. One more, like, you know. So we agreed to meet in the middle at three and then we had three rounds of IVF.
Okay.
We agreed to do one. We went for three. And then we had identical twins.
Wow.
So I really did get what I wanted, which was four kids. Two boys, two girls. So yeah, it's absolutely lovely. And I started my Instagram account a few years ago, but I wasn't doing mum hacks.
Okay.
I was just doing day-to-day life and things like that. And for me, I think I just sort of had like a, what am I doing? Like, what am I, who am I helping? And I have always been that mum that has always had to think outside the box. And so I started my hacks up just under 2 years ago.
Wow.
And yeah, it's...
Has it only been 2 years?
Yeah.
It's been incredible. You have been sort of in my life forever, Instagram stalker. But no, it's amazing that's only been 2 years.
Yeah, no, it has been. I never expected it. And I think that's the magic in it as well. Like if I could help a couple of mums, and I mean that when I say that, if I could help a couple of mums, just like make their life a little bit easier. I thought that would be brilliant. And now it's helping thousands of mums.
It's incredible.
Yeah, I feel really, really lucky as well to be where I am as well, in the position to be able to do that, because I think I've always had that urge to help people as well. Yeah. It's just, I don't know, I always think it's the autistic side of me. It's that urge to help people and just do better.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think that's really, really important. But also, I make sure that my stories and things like that are honest.
Yep.
I show a normal house, a normal sort of regime, because what I don't ever want to do, and I was very careful when, you know, the following started going up, is I never wanted to appear perfect, because I'm not perfect.
Who's perfect?
Yeah, who's perfect? And if you say you're perfect,
there's something deeply wrong.
If you say you are, like, you're loving life and mum life's the best life, and I always think,
we need to have a chat.
Yeah, I do honestly believe that mum life is hard. It's not easy. And I think people online need to show that more. And that was something that I was very cautious of doing. And I always say, if people say, what's your page about? I always say, it's to help mums. It's not for the kids.
Yeah.
It's for the mums, because no one thinks of mums.
No.
No one thinks of mums.
I'm actually getting goosebumps as you're saying that. Like, what was it about mums? And I know that's probably a really obvious question, but can you remember the moment where you were like, oh, this is really bloody hard, I want to do something to try help?
I think for me, it's not even when I became a mum. For me, it's my mum. Like, my mum was a normal mum going about her life, doing motherhood. And she had my brother when I was 6. And my older brother would have been around about 13, 14. And she had him, and something happened to her body, and even to this day they don't really know what happened to her body, but she was disabled.
Okay.
So she went from being an active mum, you know, taking us out swimming, going on hikes, to in a hospital bed for a year. We wasn't really allowed to see her because they didn't know what was wrong with her. So over that year my life changed. There was a new baby that came along, it wouldn't shut up.
Yeah.
Kept crying. Love. Sorry, Clance. I love you, my little brother. But yeah, it was a nightmare. And I got sort of not thrown from pillar to post. I don't want to put it like that, because my dad, he was a good dad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he should be at the end of the day. I don't want to clap dads, but not. I don't want
to, he did his job as a dad. Yeah.
You know,
we're not going to say well done.
We are his kids. But he did a fantastic job. But I still sort of like went to like my auntie's house, and she looked after me a lot with like my cousins. And it was difficult not having my mum there. And when my mum did come home, my mum was a different mum. She was disabled.
Yeah.
And she was in a wheelchair majority most of the time. But my mum, even though her mum's style changed, my mum didn't change, because she still was a fantastic mum. And even though we didn't do the same things, our life's changed, but it was still just as good. And I think that's where I get a lot of my hacks from, and the way I am programmed. And my mum just changed things around, and she just made sure that we were all okay. But who actually thought about my mum, really? And I think that's where it all come from. And no one thinks about mums.
No.
And for me, and they don't, and they don't. And it is always for the kids. And we're always clapping husbands and men for tying up shoelaces. Oh, he cooked the dinner.
Isn't he amazing for just doing the bare minimum?
Oh, isn't he amazing? Yeah. I see this on Instagram all the time. And it's like, oh, my husband's so amazing, he got up with the kids this morning. And I'm like, there is kids. You should be saying, I'm doing it. I'm having a laying on a Saturday, and you can have it on a Sunday. Yeah. It's end of story.
It's that thing, isn't it, where as mums, we're just being mums, but dads, if they do the school drop-off, they're congratulated. But there's such a different standard for mums.
It's ridiculous.
And it's exactly as you say, nobody thinks of mothers.
No.
But yet, our children cannot be okay unless we're okay. Like, no, I always talk 100%. About this, how, and some people kick off about it, but I am literally the most important person in my house. And that is coming from someone who most of her life had no confidence, had no self-worth, really struggled. And now I'm like, I am literally the center of the universe. If I'm okay, they're okay. Yeah. And there is no other way around it. And it sounds to me like that really came from your experience of your mom. And as you say, it sounds like when she came home, the focus was almost on, are the kids okay? Rather, what's she feeling?
Yeah.
What's she going through? How can we support her?
Yeah.
But that she found her own way to make it work.
Yeah, yeah. And she didn't, and she wasn't a, she was a hero.
Yeah.
but she never acted like a victim or anything like that. She obviously put the kids first and things like that. And obviously, you know, talking about things with my mum years down the line and how it affected her, it was really hard. Like, you know, she didn't have my brother for a year. Like bonding with a baby.
And I think when you become a mum as well, you can you understand that more, can't you? You can feel it more. I think we look at our mum through an entirely different lens. And actually, that's brought me to ask you, and this might be a bit of a deep one, but if you could go back to when your mum came home from hospital and imagine you were the other adult in the room, what would you say to her now? What would you want her to hear?
I'd probably, knowing what I know now, I'd just say you're the most amazing person ever and just carry on doing, don't change a thing, like do not change a thing. Or, but the only thing I would say is just look after yourself and don't ever feel guilty about not being able to do them things, because every household, every mother looks different.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Everyone looks different. And that's the same thing as well, going back to my Instagram. That's why I always say that, you know, you might find 10 hacks that I do that work for you, but you might find another 10 hacks that don't work for you. And that's fine. And that's okay, because I'm not telling you to do this with your kid. I'm giving you an idea that may well help your child. And because every child is different, that means you have to be different. Even with me, I have to be different with all four of my kids.
Yeah.
Because all four are different. So I'm like, I'm four different mums.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I can't treat even the twins. They may be well identical. They look pretty much exactly the same. But their personalities are different, and I have got to be a different mother to Rebecca and a different mother to Matilda.
Yeah, I love that you're saying that. I think, and it's the very reason why we can't judge other mums, because I always say this, we are all navigating extremely different circumstances, villages, support, everything. So there is no other mother like me.
No.
So I have ditched the rule book and... You know, for me, when I found out my kids were autistic, while I had to process it, I was like, this is actually a great thing. The milestone's gone. There's no more pressure or expectation. Yeah. We are now on our own path.
Yeah.
And I think it's so true for every mom. We're all navigating different circumstances. Mm-hmm. But even as you say, you will like be a different mother to your kids in a different way, but equally different days. I know a day that I'm sick, I'm like, right, we're focusing on survival here. Let's everyone stay alive.
Yeah.
And that's my best that day. And that's perfectly fine.
Yeah. And I agree with that.
You know, so we're all so different. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that with me. I'm really, really glad you did. Particularly the part about your mom. I think that was really, really lovely. So thank you. Which leads me on to the next question. Casey, please tell me your mom fashion.
So my mom fashion, bit deep. My mom fashion is the fact that I get jealous of other mums for having a normal birth.
Okay.
So I never really got the chance to have that nice normal birth with any of my children. So for me, when I see the perfect birth, the water birth and everything like that, I don't envy, but I do feel that sting of like, I wish I had that. And I think that's because in society, we're so jumped up to believe that, you know, birth is this wonderful, beautiful thing. And I think that's something that I will make sure that my daughters are fully well aware of, that I will never, ever paint this story of this beauty of birth, which, you know, many people may disagree. And I know there'd be a lot of people listening that, well, I had a lovely birth and I think birth's beautiful and it's, but it's not always. And it's almost like you've been promised something your whole life, that you'd get this lovely birth and you never get it.
Yeah.
You know?
I totally feel this, and it's something I hear a lot from my clients, and it's something I feel. And I suppose the question is, what do you define as a normal birth, and what is it that, that stung? Like, what do you feel you missed out on?
So with my first, I did actually have a VBAC birth.
Yeah.
And it didn't go well. I had a third degree tear. It was absolutely horrendous. And as soon as he came out, I hemorrhaged.
Oh, wow.
So it was really bad. My second son was a crash C-section. So I wasn't even awake for him. And he was actually born dead. But they brought him back, resuscitated, ventilated, called him. He had brain damage. And then the third birth with the twins was meant to be a planned C-section, didn't go that way, and I ended up getting put out again. And even the girls, I never even see them until after 24 hours that yeah. they were born. All my children have ended up in special care. So I've never, ever had that magical moment.
Yeah.
And I don't know as well. I sometimes think, is it because, like, with the autism thing as well, like, I've always felt very in tune with the kids, with the babies when they've been born. But it's like an over-sensory thing as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know whether, you know, that's one of the reasons as well. Sort of like, you know, you've been cut open or you've been stitched up. It's not been the ideal thing. But I think for me, when I was young, I knew I always wanted to be a mum. That
yeah.
was like, I want to be a mum. No matter how I would do that, I knew I wanted to be a mum.
Yeah.
But I always envisaged sort of having, you know, that water birth and, you know, the baby coming out and the baby sort of coming up. I don't know. I've always envisaged that lovely moment. And I've never got that. It's always been like, oh, the baby's not looking good. It's just like, it's hard.
It's hard. So if you could go back to yourself, let's say when you were pregnant for the very first mm-hmm. time, knowing what you know now and knowing, I think what you're describing there is almost, you had a vision of what it should look like. I talk about the shoulds a lot.
Yeah.
That's informed by society and what we think.
100%.
Right? It's not true.
No.
Can be for some women. And again, we're all different. We all have different experiences.
That's amazing that people do get that.
Amazing. But knowing that was your expectation and your reality was very different, and knowing how you feel and felt, what would you tell yourself in preparation for birth?
I would honestly, because I like frank talk, and I'd honestly say, Case, it's going to be a shit show. That's exactly what I'd say. It's going to be a nightmare. But I think because I'm such a black and white thinker, I'd say, you're going to survive.
Mm.
Your babies are all going to survive, but it is going to be a bit of a nightmare. The whole scenario is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
I think I honestly would tell myself that, because I'm one of these people, I like to know what's going to happen before they happen.
Yep.
I don't, you know, that song, No Guns, No Surprises. I don't like surprises. I don't like, you know, and it's the unknowing. It's that wait and see. And I think because I've had that through every birth, pregnancies have always been horrendous. I see beautiful mums and their pre-shoots they have with all this cloth everywhere and it's floating in the air and I'm
flying birds.
And they literally look amazing. Yeah. And I'm there in a bed with like a blood clot in my lung thinking, I'm actually going to die. Like that.
Yeah.
It is just pregnancy, me, even the whole thing, the conception doesn't work out well. The whole thing, I'm not good at any of it. One thing I am good at is being a mum.
Yeah.
So, and I enjoy being a mum. Not every day.
Yeah.
But majority of the time, I enjoy being a mum.
So it sounds like it was because it was different. And I get that as an autistic woman as well. Yeah. I'm like, I don't care what you throw at me. Just tell me what it is.
Yeah, yeah. What's actually going to happen?
Don't change anything.
No.
But I want you to imagine that, let's say every mother had the birth experience you had.
Yeah.
Let's say that vision of the perfect birth, whatever that is, and fair play to any woman that's listening and had it genuinely delighted for you.
Yeah.
But let's imagine the majority of mothers mm-hmm. had the experience you had or I had. Do you think you would have still felt the same?
No.
What would have been different?
I think because it's shared experiences. Like, obviously, before I had my second son was... out of all of them, it was horrendous because it got to the, you know, we had him and we didn't even know if he was going to make it.
Okay.
And we both nearly died and my mum both nearly lost us. My husband obviously nearly lost us. It shouldn't have happened. It was a 19 hours, trigger warning, bleeding out. I was complete bail.
Okay.
And,
I'm so sorry that happened to you.
It was awful. And so for me, I think if everyone had had that, obviously you wouldn't feel so alone. But I used to think that if something happened like that and then it was all right after, it didn't matter because it worked out all right.
Yep. Yep.
Until it happens to you.
Yeah.
And then you can't sleep at night. It's that thing, you nearly died. You know, I had PTSD after having my second son.
Of course.
And even for like having him, it was very difficult. I carried this baby for nearly 9 months and he was who he was. And then within 20 odd hours, he ended up being another baby to me because he had brain damage.
Yeah.
He was cored, he had to have MRIs, and he showed multiple places in his brain that was damaged. And after, you know, bringing him home, it was hard. For the first 9 to 9 months to a year, I grieved for a child that I never lost, which is awful, because you're like looking at him and some people don't understand. You're explaining this. I'm very lucky. I had a very supportive husband. He got it.
Yeah.
He didn't feel that way, but he got it.
Yeah.
And my mum got it.
Yeah.
Because she'd been there. We shared this experience. But you'd tell people that and they'd go, but he's there. I'd be like, but he's not hitting his milestones. Yeah. He's not doing anything that he was supposed to. I'm going to meetings every other week. I'm arguing with them trying to get a like accountability, like, you know, I want a sorry,
yeah,
the minimum,
yeah.
And it was horrendous. That first year of his life, you couldn't pay me to go back to who I was. You know, I wish I could go and speak to her and say to her, "It's going to be fine." Like he is going to be fine. Like he's.
What perfect. Would you say to yourself if you could go
I
back?
I think gonna get a bit you emotional okay? now. Yeah, I think I'd say to myself, "It's going to be all right." He is who he is, and. Truth is, after all these years, if someone said to you tomorrow you can go back and change it, I wouldn't. Because he is literally, I love all my kids to say, but he's the best kid.
He's the special one.
He is, but he's just brilliant. Like, he's actually like a living, walking miracle. Yep. I look at him, and I don't say it to him, but I look at him and I think, you'll do something one day. And even if the minimum you do is, I don't know, become a dad or get a job, I'm proud of you. Like, he is amazing. He is literally, he's amazing. And he's so funny and he does things that he shouldn't. Like, even in school, like I pick him up from school sometimes, he's climbing a tree and he wasn't promised to walk and talk.
Yeah.
And people say, oh, he needs to get down. He shouldn't be climbing that tree.
And you're like, let him.
And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, they told me that he probably wouldn't walk or talk or he'd be in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. So, do you know what? Climb it, babe. Go up to the top. Don't worry. Break an arm, we can fix it. But, yeah, he's amazing. So I think for me, I'd literally just tell myself, like, get out of your own head. He is who he is and you literally, you wouldn't change him. And I think that's the, you heal, don't you?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thank you. And sorry, I kind of got emotional there. And again, no two situations are the same, but I can relate to yours in the sense of my middleman, Alex. So all my kids are autistic, but he still can't talk. Mm. So he's nearly 5. I'm nearly getting emotional now. Like he can't talk. You know, we've struggled with so many things with him. And I feel like our little Alex will live with us forever.
Yeah.
I just feel like until I die, he'll be with us. I sleep with him in his bed every night. Like he's my little magic man.
Yeah.
But I think when you have a child that's different, it's the moments that we take for granted with every other child 100%. Are so magic. Like he uttered or tried to say mommy, and I shared it on Instagram a couple of months ago. And like when I say I roared crying.
Yeah.
And like, whereas my other children are like, mommy, mommy. I'm like, if you call me mommy one more time, like, I'm going to throw one of you away. Like, don't call me. But then Alex said it. And I'm like, oh my God, but Alex said it. And so I genuinely appreciate you sharing that because I feel while in motherhood, we all have different experiences. I think that feeling of what you're describing, I can relate to, and I'm sure so many people will of, what we thought it would be wasn't.
No, and it's not. And I think life is just like that. I think life is like that and you know, you have these dreams and even though they're not big dreams, you're not asking to win the lottery here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're asking for things, you know, there's so many things that I wish, you know, had gone a certain way, but they haven't caused me trauma or they haven't caused me to sit there and think about them for more than 2 seconds. But he has, like, I know it's his birthday in October. So for me, you know, I go back to that time. I go back to that time he was born and everything like that. And it is difficult. And I still find it difficult now. But I think every year that passes, it gets a little bit better and a little bit better. And, you know, you see him, you know, and he didn't do much for the first sort of 10 months of his life. He really didn't do it. He couldn't roll. He didn't sit up. He didn't walk. He didn't pull himself up. Nothing. He did nothing. Then all of a sudden, it's just like a light bulb switched on. He started doing things. And he's even like a part of a study because he literally didn't do anything. And then it's like, he just started doing it. And within a month, he learned to crawl, roll, sit up. And on his first birthday, and he was at his party.
Wow.
He just got up.
So he went against everything.
Yeah.
He literally is.
They say he's a miracle.
He is a magic little man.
Yeah, he is.
He's a magic little man. And I think what I heard from you there is, and maybe you did this too, but I certainly did it, and it made motherhood feel easier for me. And I think anyone listening, even if they haven't a child with additional needs, or when you ditch the rule book, when you ditch the shoulds, when you ditch, oh my goodness, the nonsense of the milestones and the public health checkups and the pressure, are they sitting, are they crawling, will you just leave me alone?
Yeah.
Like, when you ditch all of that, and in ways it's a hard one, because in motherhood we can feel so alone and like we're the only ones. But actually, if in ways you embrace that and go, I am the only one, so that's okay. So I don't have this pressure.
Yeah.
And it suddenly becomes a little bit easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, 100%. And I think that, I think you can't, just because, you know, Helen up the road's doing this, or do you know what I mean? And she's doing this.
Good on you, Helen. You know,
her kid was like walking at 6 weeks. It's like you can't, oh, well, what, you know, when was yours doing that? And it's like, do you know what?
Yeah, you really have
get
to ditch
head.
It. And would
get
that be, because that was going to be my last question for you before we move on to the audience mom fashion. If you had any advice for any mom out there, the thing that sort of clicked in you, not to make motherhood easy, because it's really bloody hard, but to make it easier or to help you navigate it and to feel happier in it, what would it be?
I actually think it's just more sort of like learning about myself and learning about my kids, and knowing that each child is different and I've had to treat each child different. So it's like you say, chuck out that rule book. Stop worrying about what everyone else thinks of you. Stop worrying about what your kids do at the play centre. I've took kids to a play centre where they've been absolutely angels, and I've took my other kids and it has been a nightmare. I've been that mum and that kid. But you're never even going to see these people again. And kids will be kids. I just think that there's less and less scientists nowadays than there was back 20 years ago. And it's because we're making kids stand in a line and stop.
Yep.
But no, let them get on with it. As long as they're not being rude.
Yeah.
As long as they're being kind. And that's what I always, one thing everyone always says about my kids is they are kind. And I think as long as your kids are kind, let them get on with it. Let them be happy and you be happy. And just, if you get stressed and you think, oh, I can't cope, big deep breath counts five. Yeah. It'll be over in 10 minutes and you'll be left in the car and you can go back home. Yeah. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah. And I love that. I always say this as well, that like, we're not that special in the nicest sense of the word, that I used to think, oh my God, what's she thinking about me? Actually, if you think about it and step back, how much time do we give thinking about other people?
No.
I know I don't.
No.
So what are the chances that there's actually someone else judging us? They're too caught up in their own stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And even if they do judge you, they're going to judge you for 3 seconds and then they move on to the next person.
And let them.
Judge.
Yeah. Let them.
That's it.
Oh my goodness, that's really good advice. We were never supposed to do this whole motherhood thing alone. The village is gone and it's not coming back anytime soon. That is why I've created an online village just for you. Imagine this. You have 24/7 access to like-minded mums in a safe online space away from social media. And I'm there too. You get to access 2 monthly online meetups with me and other guest experts, all designed to help you navigate different chapters of motherhood. And you have access to the Mind Mummy Coaching Academy, your online vault of bite-sized classes and advice, all designed to help you be a happier on-camera mum. You don't have to do this alone anymore. Click the link in the podcast description and say yes to a happier on-camera way. Let me help you. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain. It's not selfish to Mind Mummy. It's essential. Shall we get into an audience momfession?
Hi, Laura. So my momfession is, as a first-time mom, I suppose, I'm really overwhelmed by the love I have for my child. She's more than I ever dreamed of. And I genuinely do feel that way. It's a real overwhelming type of love. Look, I'm the first of my friends to have a baby. And I know this has been covered on the podcast before, but, you know, I look at my friends and I see them living their best lives, you know, child-free lives for now. Like, I know they talk about having children in their futures, but, you know, I feel like I'm missing out on their like big life events, you know, like weddings and hens. And, you know, I suppose I've been told by them that I'm missing out on it and not to lose myself in motherhood. And look, I know they just don't understand because they're not in it and they don't understand what it is to be a mother yet. But look, I'm missing these events because I have a baby who's breastfed, refuses a bottle. And like, no matter how hard I've tried to get her to take a bottle, It just hasn't worked for us. And, you know, I'm judging myself because I feel like I've done something wrong. I don't want to leave my baby at all. You know, we breastfeed and we co-sleep. So I feel really judged by others for not being able to leave her. And while I need a break, I don't want to break. And I feel it very difficult to give over control to anyone. Even sometimes by my partner when it comes to the baby. I think it's just I need to work on giving over control and not listening to being judged by others.
Two of us are literally like,
I'm fuming.
Fuming as well. I've so many emotions, not fuming at mum.
No.
I'll just say in one word, I don't know if we're thinking the same thing, judgment and pressure. That's two words, sorry. Two words, I can't count. Judgment and pressure.
At the end of the day, she's literally just had her baby. And it's a baby, and you're a mum, and you're new. She said she was a first time mum as well, didn't she?
Which is 10 times, like every first time mum, I want to wrap them up in a blanket.
Yeah, I know. The second one, you're like, oh yeah, they'll be all right. But the first one, you're like, my baby, because it is new, and you're like a lioness, and you've fed the baby, and you're feeling all these emotions. And do you know what? It's time.
Yeah.
It's time, because later on, you will feel like you can let go a little bit more. As they get older, you do. Mm. You definitely feel like that you can let them go a little bit more. But when they're little and they're baby, and you're co-sleeping, you're breastfeeding and everything like that, it's really, really hard.
It's such really a hard
time. And how can our friends understand? I'm sorry, they haven't got kids. And I think they're being really judgmental to their friend because they probably want their friend back, which I'll get.
She's gone to a certain extent.
Yep. And she should take that as a positive. They love her so much that they want her back. But she needs to explain to them that I've had a baby. It's, you know, it isn't easy. Yeah. And I don't see why, like, she can't do nice things with her friends with the baby.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's really hard. I can kind of relate to this. I didn't breastfeed. I bottle fed. Hated, just saying it. Doesn't matter how you feed your baby. I hated breastfeeding. I couldn't do it. Thought I was a failure. No, I'm not now. But I was the first out of my group of friends to become a mum. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might not know this about me, but I really struggled my first year of motherhood with my mental health, like world fell apart, ended up in a psychiatric hospital. Like it was literally, and I don't know if that's why, I know we're kind of gone back again, why I've connected with you.
Yeah.
I think while we had different experiences, our first years of motherhood were bloody hard.
Yeah.
They didn't look like everyone else's. No. I felt completely alone. I felt like I was the worst mother in the world. And at the time, none of my friends were mums. None of them really. And they didn't get it until they became mums years later. And I remember one of my best friends like ringing me and being, she was so emotional. She's like, Laura, I had no idea. And I'm not even having the experience you're having. And they were there for me as much as they could. And they were really supportive. And by goodness, when I was in a psychiatric hospital, they came to visit and were like, what's happening? But I don't think anyone can imagine what it's like to be a mother. We couldn't imagine it until you're a mother and you realize what it feels like. And I don't think her friends will until they're there.
No, and I don't think, you know, I think her friends are being a little bit out of order. Like I will say that because I think they should be more understanding. Yeah. However, you can be quite selfish. Not everyone, but you can be quite selfish before you have kids. You should be selfish. Because
We'd no one else to mind.
No, exactly.
Remember it. We just walked out the front door. We just got our bag and we opened the door and walked out. Yes. Remember?
And even that used to feel hard. And then wait until you're like trying to drag four and you're like, oh, I've got someone's shoes here.
But mommy, just get into the car.
And then you get into the car. You're like, right, we're ready. I need a wee. And you're like,
no.
Oh God, no, please.
Hold it. Yeah. Hold it. Actually, I had a moment like when my eldest, the moment where they can tie themselves in and you hear the seatbelt go click and you're like, we've reached another milestone. That's one less to like, I won't even say tie in. I don't know if I'm the only mother. It's literally like getting a wild animal. And who makes these car seats? You can't adjust the straps. They won't sit still. So I'm just excited for when they can all just get into the car.
I am actually.
Click. It's coming. Anyway,
no
side note.
Seats or anything like that. But no, it is really difficult. And she feels obviously really in tune with the baby, which you do a lot of the time and actually it is overwhelming. Like, I remember like with my first, it used to just make noises like that. But they do.
Did yours do the thing? It would be like early morning. My babies didn't sleep. My first woke every 20 minutes.
Either.
But he did this grunt.
Yeah.
It started about 4 a.m. It was like, And it would go on and on.
Yeah, that's
like, what?
Mine used to do that all night though.
Why don't they tell us?
They're like a lamb, like a grunting lamb.
Is it asleep? Is it awake? And you're like, I could have got 20 minutes of sleep there. Anyway, we've gone totally off topic. But
we were saying that you'll feel really in tune. Yeah. You're really in tune and it is an overwhelming time. But I think that she needs to have a nice chat with her friends and explain actually how it's made her feel.
Yeah.
They can still do nice things together. And also, everything in life is temporary. When you're living it at that moment,
feels like forever.
It feels like you're never going to go out. You're never going to do anything. And I get this a lot of people when I speak to a lot of people, especially even about like their children that like, you know, have autism and things like that. And, you know, before me, even like before when I had my trauma, you miss that old self of yourself. Yeah. You miss her. It's like you're grieving for her and you're like, I wish I could get her back. But do you know what? The one thing I always say is, what did she know about being a mother? She didn't.
No.
What did she know about bringing a child into the world with brain damage and learning all this new stuff?
Yeah.
She didn't know any of that. She didn't have a clue. She couldn't cope with actually dealing with what you've just done. She could not have coped. She could have not dealt with that at that time. But you are. You're dealing with it now. You're an amazing mum. You're breastfeeding your baby. You're co-sleeping. You're juggling it all. It's really overwhelming, but you're doing amazing. And she hasn't got a clue. She wouldn't have been able to do that a year ago.
Yeah.
You could not have done that. So don't look at that old self and think, oh, she was so fun. She might have been fun, but
she hadn't
a clue.
And look how far you've grown.
Look at you. You're a mum. You've brought a baby into the world. You're amazing.
Like, we're actually magic. Yeah. Before I was a mum, I would look at other pregnant women and think, oh my God, that must feel like X, Y, and Z. Yeah. Blah, blah. When you're in it, it's kind of surreal. Yeah. Like, I never made the connection of there's a baby in here.
Yeah.
And then when your baby's born, you just can't really fathom.
It's but that's the same thing as that.
Like,
it's like, yeah.
It's almost, so I think it's really important to kind of say as well, whatever feeling you have as a new mum, it's okay, whether you feel disconnected from your baby
100%.
Or don't want to leave their side, because it's, we know this, you're navigating matrescence.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah,
it's the biggest change you'll go in your life. And I think it's lovely what you're saying about having the chat with the friends. I would say the same, like reach out. And if they're your close friends, be like, look, I miss you. I love you. I'm going through this massive change. I would love to connect with you more. And maybe that's not doing the same things, but maybe it's having little voice notes.
Yes.
Maybe it's like, will we do a Zoom? Maybe it's like, I'm going to go for a walk on a Saturday morning with the baby. Can you come with me?
Let's go and get a bit of cake or something like that. And try to time it in a time that you fed the baby and then the baby's going to go down. Do you know what I mean? And if, you know, I think that you don't have, we put so much pressure on ourselves feeling guilty. We feel guilty when we want to get rid, like, we want to sort of get rid of the kids and we think, well, I want to go out. You feel guilty. You're like, how bad am I? And then you don't want to leave the kids and you feel guilty. And it's like,
guilt. What would be your one piece of advice around mum guilt? Because this nugget comes up again. Do you feel mum guilt?
100%. I do feel guilty, but I just know, I try to tell myself like it's normal. So I will, before I get out of the house, sometimes, I can't wait to get out of the house.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to get out. I need to get away from everyone. I need to get away from them all. And I'll get out of the house. And within 20 minutes, I'm like, oh God, I miss him.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss him so much. And then I can't wait to get home and see them again. And I'm like, oh, I want to get home. I want to get home. And then I'll get home. And within 20 minutes, I'm like, oh God, I wish I never came home.
Stop calling me.
Please. But I want to go back. I want to go back. And I do feel that. And I feel guilty. But then I remind myself, this is completely normal. It's like, I want to be with you all the time, but I don't want to be with you at all. And that is normal.
Do you know
normal.
What it is? We sometimes forget that, yes, we are a mother, but we're also possibly a sister or a daughter or a colleague. We have needs.
100%.
And the problem is, as mums, a lot of those needs stop being met. Yeah. And so we're torn. And so when we're trying to meet pockets of them, the guilt is there. It pulls and it pulls. And we can't have everything at the same time. I'm a firm believer in we can do anything.
Yeah.
We can have anything, not at the same time.
No, and my mum said something really great to me. When I was sort of like umming and ahhing whether to sort of like carry on with my Instagram, because it was getting a bit too big.
Mm.
And I was thinking, this is going to be something, and I'm not sure.
What was that? Sorry to interrupt. When you had that feeling of this is going to be something, what did that feel like?
It was really scary. It was kind of like exciting, but it was kind of like this is going to be something.
What does be something mean?
Well, kind of like I knew that I was going to have to dedicate more time to it, and I knew that I was going to have to. I was sort of like just dipping in and out.
Oh wait, like, there's actually people watching.
Yeah,
and real people.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, no, actually, there are people that are like kind of relying on you, and you're gonna have to make the decision. And I was a stay-at-home mum at the time, and don't get me wrong, like now the girls are at school, I would have gone out and got a job. So for me, it was kind of like it happened, sort of like maybe, sort of, you know, a year and a bit earlier than what I thought I would obviously go out and get a job. But even though it is a job, but it's not a job. It's like the best job in the world, because I get to speak to like my friends every day. And it is. And it is literally like that. And as you said, as soon as you message me, I DM back, because I check all my requests.
Like, you literally, I'm not, it's something anyone really listening, literally instantly, you not only responded, you're like, I'll come on your podcast. I was like, oh God.
So it is. And I love that. And I love speaking to other mums. And I was sort of umming and ahhing, you know, and my husband said, look, we'll work it out. Whatever you want to do, I'll support you. And so we should, because I've always supported him. And then I spoke to my mum, and I was sort of like, you know, it's really difficult. Like, these are my last babies, and like, I'm going to be giving up sort of like this year with them, and I won't be as, not as much as a mum, but I won't be doing as much as a mum. And she said, I didn't put you on this earth to be a mum, Case. She said, like, I didn't put you here just to be like a mum. She said, I gave you life. She said, I've looked after you your whole life so you could have a life. She said, not just so you could be a mum. She said, I don't want that for you. She said, I want more for you. I want you to be a mum and enjoy your life.
She said,
your kids will grow up one day. She said, and they will go.
How did it feel for her to say that? Like, what did that do for you?
Nice. Yeah. Like, no, she's right. I am me. I'm not just a mum. I am me. Yeah. That kind of thing.
Would it be fair to say it was permission? Was there a bit of you going, I'm a mum, and it's back to the shoulds again?
Yeah.
A good mum does X, Y, and Z. Yeah. But yet you were torn, because you had this amazing opportunity on Instagram and all these amazing mums going, you're actually really helping me. And was your mum really, was that the blessing to go?
Yes. And
go
it
do
is.
It.
Yeah.
And it you is. Are so capable of this. Go be happy. Go do it.
And I think it is that type of thing. Like, when your own mum saying to you, like, oh, I gave birth to you. Like, come on. Go and do it. You know, it is sort of that permission.
Pop yourself on. You can do
it. Yeah, you can do this.
There's something, I think, no matter what age we are, because it happened with me and my dad recently. Like, an opportunity came up in London during the summer, and I was like, oh, it was the middle of the summer holidays. I'm like, oh, I don't think I can go. And the flights are a bit expensive, but it's a big opportunity. My dad has no idea what I do. Either does my mum. Like, I was coming to London today and they're like, what are you doing? I was like, my podcast. They're like, you on telly? I'm like, forget it. No, it's a pod. They literally don't know what I do. So I was kind of saying it to my dad. I'm like, it's hard though. Like, going to need help with the kids. And like, I actually get emotional now. He was like, just go on the plane. Like,
that's nice.
You know, why am I getting upset? This is my podcast. But it was kind of... It's the moment of, you've had a hard life, Laura. You've struggled with your mental health your whole life. You never knew you were autistic. You had, excuse the language, a really shit first year of motherhood.
Yeah.
And you're building something here. Get on the bloody plane. Yeah. And it's something about when your parents say it, we almost become childlike again. And it's 100%. Like, get on the plane. And it's been my motto ever since. Even today, I'm like, get on the plane, Laura. Go to London. Run to London and embrace the opportunity. Your kids will be fine. Yeah. Because you know what? At the end of the day, Casey... If we're happy, they're happy.
Yeah, 100%.
100%. Isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh my goodness. That was one hell of a mumfession and everything. And thank you so much for being so vulnerable, sharing the story about your mum, your own experience of like labour and delivery, and answering that mumfession. Like, genuinely, I didn't expect to get upset through this. I don't know why. I just feel like I have a connection with you. And I think it's down to the power of... As mums, we all have different experiences, 100%. But the feeling can be the same. That feeling of loneliness or the grief of, this isn't what I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Why was I the only one? And I think that's exactly why I have this podcast. When we can start sharing these mumfessions, we actually realise we all had feelings like it.
Yes.
And it makes it so much better.
Yeah, it really does.
Thank you so much. I'm going to link everything about Casey in the bio of the podcast. Her Instagram account, definitely check it out. As I say, part of the struggle with motherhood is figuring out just how to get through the day. There's so many practical, easy to implement advice, tips, tricks, and keep an eye out for her book. I will link that there too. It is going to be out very, very soon. Thank you so much for being here, Casey. I am going to finish up this week's episode with another weekly challenge if you want to get involved. And I think this one is quite appropriate for today's episode, given that we had Casey just on. And Casey gives so much to support to moms in terms of navigating the day-to-day with all her wonderful advice and tips and tricks. So this challenge is all around helping you get the stuff done that you put off every day. So you know the stuff that you have to do every day, but there's like this mental block of, oh no, I have to put the laundry away. Oh no, I have to empty the dishwasher. Oh no, I have to send that email. Oh no, whatever it might be. It's just the stuff that we need to do. We always find it hard to do. We might procrastinate a little bit. I know for me, it's the having to empty the dishwasher, the laundry, all of these little tasks that we have to do every day, but the thought of them, they feel extra hard, they take up space in our head, they add to our mental load, and we generally procrastinate. So if you get involved with this challenge this week, I promise you that by the end of it, these tasks will suddenly feel really easy to do and you will no longer be procrastinating. And most importantly, it's going to reduce your mental load. It's as simple as this. Pick one of those tasks. Whatever that task is for you, it could be the laundry, it could be the dishwasher, it could be making breakfast, it could be the lunches. Set a timer. Literally set a timer. I know this sounds really silly, but what this will do is help you understand how long it actually takes. Because very often with these tasks, the thought of doing them feels worse than the actual reality of doing them, or the perceived time feels way longer. I did this with the dishwasher, and what I learned is it takes me 90 seconds to empty the entire dishwasher and put it away if I give it my full concentration. I now no longer put off emptying the dishwasher. So get involved, pick a task that is forming part of your mental load that you keep procrastinating on, set a timer, see how long it takes, and please let me know. Hop onto my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching, and let me know how long these tasks take. And I promise by the end of it, your mental load is going to feel a little bit lighter. Thank you so much for listening. If you found today's episode helpful, please hit the follow or subscribe button. But most importantly, please share with your friends. Because if you related to any of the topics on today's episode, I promise they will relate too. You can also leave me a review and rating wherever you're listening. I'd really appreciate it. If you would like to avail of some additional resources or learn more about the village, please visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching. I hope you have a wonderful week. And remember, it's not selfish to mind mommy, it's essential. This was an Insanity Studios production. The production manager was Charlotte Mason. The podcast producer was Saffron Mirza. And the production assistant was Abby Sandler.